Well, praise the Lord. Had it not been, we would have been in a mess. Amen. He's the one who told the disciples of John, said, go tell John the things that you will see and hear. What was it they saw and heard? They saw the Messiah evidence. They saw that the blind received their sight. The dead were raised again. The lame were walking and leaping and praising God. The dumb were speaking and the deaf were hearing. And my great God of heaven, he came to show who he was and prepare us for his soon return. Amen. Turn with me tonight to the book of Ruth, the first chapter. While you're standing, I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, verse 29. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I want to talk a little bit tonight about our words, whether they be good or whether they be bad, what we say and how we talk. I believe there's nothing more powerful than words. Sometimes we don't realize the power to encourage, to discourage, to give life, to give death, doubt, despair. So I want to talk, I'm going to look at this woman here in the book of Ruth. I'm going to look at Naomi. But before I begin to preach and before I begin to even read my passage of Scripture, I want to ask you just, this has got something to do with my message, but it won't look like it for a while, okay? And I just want to ask you. How many believe that God's still on the throne? How many believe that God's still in control of America? Even in control of your home? Even in the midst of troubles and trials and tribulations? How many believe that God is your, that the Lord orders his angels to encamp around about them that fear him? And keep his word? How many believe that when the dust, so to speak, all settles of life and it's all over, God will still be on the throne? And that Satan will be in that lake of fire, that it burns with fire and brimstone. How many believes that? I knew you did, but I wanted to ask you that because that affects the way we talk. Sometimes the way we talk does not line up with that. And even though we know, we get down, if we go through trial, and man, you'd think we didn't think was ever going to come out of it. Sometimes. And I want to talk to you about Naomi tonight, but really, I want to talk to you about us, all right? Because we've all felt like Naomi before. So tonight, I want to read about Naomi, but I just want to talk to us tonight. Chapter 1, verse 19. And I want you to understand, I'll just read here, and I may have to give you some background. I don't know. We'll see how we go. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. They two being Naomi and Ruth. They two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi." What was her name, church? Naomi. What'd she say? What is she saying? "Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant. "Call me not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara." Does your Bible say in a footnote on the side what Mara means? Bitter. Naomi has went through a trial. And Naomi says, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Call me not Naomi, call me bitter. Heavenly Father, I come to you this night, and I pray for your anointing. I pray, God, that we would all understand, as we have. We've went through trials. We've experienced what Naomi's went through. We know a little bit about this in our own little way, in our own troubles, in our own lives, that sometimes feel that nobody even knows and understands. The fact of the matter is we all experience this. I pray, God, that we, as we've already talked about, we know what the end of it is. We know what the finish line holds in store. We know that there is a heaven that we have been promised if we'll just hold to your nail-scarred hand, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we would keep our eyes and our faith stirred and working, and our eyes fresh and clear and looking and expecting for your coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've all felt like Naomi, like we were without hope before. In the earlier part of this chapter, this is a very brief, one of the most brief biographies that I think I've ever read. It is so brief that in the first 18 verses, it tells about a man of Bethlehem, Judah, who went out of the land of Bethlehem and went to the country of Moab because of a famine, and because of that famine and because of him going to that other country, he had two sons. His name was Elimelech, and he had two sons, Chilion and Mahlon, and they married, and we know the names of those two women was Ruth and Orpah. And in that time that they were in that land of, because of the famine in the land of promise, they were in the land of Moab, and while they were there, Elimelech died, the father of the boys and the husband of Naomi. And not only did the father die, but also the two boys died. So Ruth had no husband, and Orpah had no husband. And then word came back that there was bread again in the house of Bethlehem. God had visited his people again. And let me tell you this, I'm not at all going, I don't know. I know that God has ordination in some of the things that happen in our life. And so I'm not going to at all say whether Elimelech should have left Bethlehem, Judah or not. I would say in my own experience, probably not. Probably you should have stayed there. But there was a time when God told Abraham to go to Egypt. There was a time when God sent Joseph down in captivity to Egypt. There was times when things happened that didn't look like it was really the plan of God, but it was. And God worked things out according to his plan and his purpose. And here we have a story of some who left the house of promise because there was a famine in the land. But I'm going to get so far ahead of myself if I'm not careful, but I just want to tell you that there was a promise to Bethlehem, Judah. There was a promise to the city that Ruth Naomi was from. Naomi was from, and Ruth ended up being from. There was a promise to Bethlehem, Judah. If you remember that when Herod said, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews?" They searched the scriptures, and they said, "He's born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is saying, thou art little among the nation, but out of thee shall come a governor who shall rule my people." That's where the Messiah is coming, out of Bethlehem, Judea. Just because there's a famine, just because there's a dry time, just because there's no bread in Bethlehem, doesn't mean God is done with Bethlehem. And don't you ever think that he's done until God says he's done. So we see Naomi and I'm going to title my message tonight, "Quit It." I do that because in my home, there's times my wife has to say, "Quit it." There's times when it's a teasing way. There's times when it's a serious way. There's times when I've had to look to my wife and she might be down in the mouth about something and I say, "Quit it." And then there's times when we're teasing and she's cutting up with me and maybe she's just telling me how much she loves me or how good looking she thinks I am, and or whatever she may, and I may look at her and say, "Quit it, quit it." That's one of those little words that we use around our house, and I think it'd be good for husband and wives to use that little "quit it" sometimes, because Naomi needed somebody to tell her, "Quit it." Naomi, get a hold of it. Naomi, don't dare ask them to call you bitter. Don't dare let them take away that pleasant smile from your face. Don't dare take away the promises of God. Don't dare. Don't quit it, Naomi. Quit it. Just because you've lost your husband, and I understand that was a big issue and there was trouble, but you've got promises still to come. There's still a resurrection. There's still a promise that Elimelech will raise from the dead, and Mahlon and Chilion will be gathered around that great throne together one day. Quit it, Naomi. Don't get your eyes off of eternity. Don't get your eyes off of what God has promised for Bethlehem, Judah. We've all went around with a down in the mouth attitude sometimes when things have not gone right, and sometimes bigger, sometimes not so big. And here we see Naomi say she is without hope. Here we see Naomi say, "Don't call me Naomi. God hath dealt bitterly with me." Here we see Naomi saying, she with a short-sighted spirit, she begins to forget the hope and she begins to doubt the promises. And can I say, she has removed the helmet. She has taken off the helmet. Oh, quit it, Naomi. You're in battle. You're in war. Put on the helmet. You know that God is still on the throne. You know that there's going to be troubles and trials in this life. You know that the end of this world is going to be better than we ever imagined. You know that when the trumpet sounds and when the dead in Christ rise and we see our loved ones again, we'll forget all of the troubles. We'll forget all the strifes. And we'll never want somebody to call us Mara. We'll never want somebody to call us bitter. We'll want to rejoice around the throne of heaven saying, "Thank God. He brought me through." Yeah. Praise God. Sometimes we may feel justified in our attitude and say, Brother John, you don't know all about it. You don't know. You haven't been beside me with what I've been going through and what I've experienced. But I tell you, God has not forsaken you. You raised your hands and you said, I believe. I believe that there's going to be a day when there's an unclouded day, when the sun is going to shine seven times brighter than it's ever shone before. I believe there's a day when the Lord is going to sit upon his throne high and lifted up and his train fill the temple. I believe that there's going to be a day when there's a number gathered around that throne, Brother Dino, that no man can number. And the hallelujahs are going to be raised and the glory to God's and our troubles and trials will not be remembered anymore. I believe there's a day when we're going to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe there's a day when he's going to say, enter thou in to the joys of the Lord, to the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I believe it. Well, then let us watch what we say. Do you see what Naomi is doing? Do you see what Naomi is doing? Instead of bringing Orpha with her, she's turned Orpha back. Orpha believed. Orpha knew the promises of God, but now she says, well, maybe the promises of God aren't real. So Orpha kisses Naomi and goes back. Do you see what she does when she walks into the very city of God's promises? The very city where God said, this is the city. This is, oh, he's already spoken it by the prophet. This is the city he's already spoken by prophecy through David and through the prophecy of Micah. This is the city that my governor shall come out of. Though you're the smallest, you're going to, out of thee shall come a governor that'll rule my people. And she walks into the city, the place where God has turned his blessings back on. Just because God brings a famine, just because God brings a whooping, just because we have chastised, doesn't mean God has forgotten us or forsaken us. The Bible says he chastises them he loves. He might bring us down, but the Bible says it's the exalted hills that are going to be cut down in the last days. Don't we want to be humble? Don't we want to realize that the trials that we go through might bring us to our knees, but it'll get us in that place where we're closer to God. Do you think I didn't wonder when I broke both my wrists and came that close to dying? What in the world did I go through it for? When 6 weeks I didn't hardly leave my house? Do you think I didn't go through it and battle it in my mind what was going on? And I said, God, whatever you're trying to teach me, teach me. If you're trying to humble me, humble me. If you're trying to show me something, teach it to me. Let me learn it. It don't matter what you go through, the trials you face. Make sure you say, God, I'm looking for the instruction in the middle of my midnight hour. God does his greatest works when you're in the middle of a trouble. When Paul and Silas were in the jail in the midnight hour singing praises to God, God shook the place. When Peter was going to have his head cut off the next day and the church of God was praying, God sent an angel and opened the gates and brought Peter out. When the three Hebrew children said, I don't know what God's doing, but this I know is the end. I got to keep my eye on the end, and I'm not bowing to this idol, because if I die, I'm going to the end and I want my end to be right. They stayed standing, had no idea. The Bible gives us no indication that they thought they'd come out of that fiery furnace. They did not know they were going to come out of there without even the smell of smoke upon them. They did not know that they were going to walk through that as though walk in that fire and there'd be four men in the fire. They had no idea. It had never happened before. But this one thing they did know, there was a promise of God that there was an eternity to look at. Get your eyes off of this world and get it on that one. And I tell you something else. While I'm preaching about quit it. When you're going through your trial, whatever it is, don't 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 blame the devil. Or maybe I should say, don't give the devil credit. And don't blame God. But say, God, I do believe you. And no matter what's causing this or what's how I'm going through it, I'm wanting to learn. Job had no idea that God had said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job had no idea that God had taken down the hedge so that Satan could come. Job had no idea that God had told Satan, you can go so far and no further. Job had no idea. But in the middle of it all, he worshiped God. In the middle of it all, he never once blamed God with his lips. He never once accused God. He said, oh, that I might find him. Oh, he knows the way I take. And when I'm trying, I'll come forth as cold, but oh, that I might find him. I've looked before me, I've looked behind me, I've looked on both sides. I can't find, but he was there all the time, and we know it. But Job was going through a trial. But the Bible says in all of this, he worshiped God. In all of this, he never charged God falsely. In all of this, he never sinned with his lips. What was it in the trial of mankind was the life and trial of Job? When he's come through, he come through with blessings beyond compare. And I tell you what, even what we see in this world, the blessings in this world, he had blessings on the other side that was much greater. You believe on the end, don't you? You believe in eternity, don't you? You believe that when it's over, there's going to be a heaven to gain, that he's got a mansion prepared for you. You believe that he's coming again. You believe in the trumpet sounding. You believe that no matter what goes on in this world, don't ever call me Mara. Call me Naomi. I want to keep a pleasant attitude and a pleasant looking forward. I don't want to spread trouble and trial. I don't want to spread that poison of ass with my lips. I want God to get blessed in my trials. Praise God. You see what Naomi is doing? Now listen. I'm here to learn from those scriptures. The Bible says that these things were written for our learning. And I want to learn as I read here what she did wrong. So I won't. She is not building faith. She is looking only at the present circumstances. She is listening to the hissing of that old serpent. She is affecting those around her. Do you think what you say does not affect those around you? It can affect them for a bad case, and it can affect them for a good case. You ought to keep their eyes. You say, I don't know how some people call Brother Brad. I've heard Brad say he's been called cheerleader before. You ought to be a cheerleader if you can see the end. You ought to be a cheerleader if you can see who's going to finish. You ought to be a cheerleader if you can see that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You ought to be able to say, don't slow down. Pick them up, Scotty. Brother Nolan used to run, but pick them up, Scotty. Keep on running because the finish line is still ahead. I'm telling you, we know what happens. Don't get down in the mouth in your circumstance. Just keep on helping somebody go forward. Would to God you were all called cheerleaders. Because you believed. We've all felt like Naomi. We've all been here. But oh, put on your helmet. Go forth expecting. Go forth believing that the best is yet to come. Go forth saying, I've been around this mountain long enough. Go forth saying, I'm looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Go forth saying, I see things that are invisible, that the world does not see, that the world does not understand. Try your best to show them. Try your best to pray that God would open their eyes that they might behold. Be like Elisha when his servant said, Master, woe unto us, for we're surrounded with the army of Syria. But Elisha didn't even have to look, and he said, you don't understand. There's more that are for us than are for against them. You haven't looked outside yet, Elisha. Come on outside and see. I don't have to, because I know what's spiritual. The Bible says the angels of the Lord are encamped around about me. Greater are they that are for us than they that are against us. Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the second look made a different look, because he saw what Elisha was looking at. He saw what Elisha knew all along. He saw what God had promised. He saw that God wasn't going to lead this battle just to the Syrians and Elisha, but it was God's battle, and God was going to win the victory. So Naomi comes in and says, don't call me Naomi. Her chin was dragging the ground. Don't call me Naomi no more, because God has dealt bitterly with me. Naomi, you don't know what you just brought back from Moab. She's better to you than seven sons. Naomi, you are definitely looking too close here. Because you know what I know, don't you? But Naomi had Ruth. Ruth married Boaz. Boaz had a son named Solomon. Solomon had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. And David... And Jesus is the son of Abraham, the son of David. Oh, Naomi, shake yourself. Shake yourself. Look again. Oh my, look at the star. Look at that promise. Look at that eternity. My. Look what God has said through Micah. Out of thee, Bethlehem, Judea, even though you're the smallest among all the cities, out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Oh, we're talking about the Messiah. And Naomi had lost sight of it. But Naomi was the one who became the one who had the Messiah line. Yeah, that's right. Do you understand that we're the one who are packing the Messiah line in us? You understand that Naomi didn't realize that, but we should. We're packing the Messiah line. And it don't matter what we go through if we keep our eyes on him. Do you know what's going to happen to every one of us if the Lord tarries? You're going to go through trouble. You're going to go through sickness. You're going to go through trials. You're going to experience death. You're going to be there. My daddy was the biggest man in my life. When they said he had cancer, I said, I guess I was in denial. I said, he'll whoop it. He'll beat it. Ain't nothing ever beat my daddy. But the fact of the matter is, he had to die because God said so. But I'm not looking there. I'm not looking at that grave that is right outside of the south side of Mount Vernon. I'm not looking at that place that's got that little picture of him on that tombstone. I'm not looking there. And if I was, I'd be looking for that ground to burst open. Because I'm looking there when I shall be with him again. You understand what I'm talking about tonight? There have been times when my wife has had to look at me and say, quit it. Is anybody? If you haven't, you should. Husbands, it's good for you to look at your wives when they're doing it, when they're, because we all do it. We've all been a Naomi before. It's good for you to look to your wife and say, quit it. Quit it. Quit, look, quit it. I know we're in trial. I know finances are rough. I know problems are, I know there's sickness. I know there's fears. I know there's worries. I know there, but don't get doubting. Wives, do like my wife does for me. Quit it. I mean, you understand, do it in a spirit of love and purpose. Do it for the glory of God. Do it so their spiritual eyes can keep on looking forward. Quit it and keep looking up. Keep running forward. If I ever am talking to one of you and maybe you're not married and one I hear you say, I mean, if I ever say quit it, you know what I'm talking about. Quit it. Quit it. Oh, well, you don't know what I'm going through today. Quit it. I don't care what you're going through today. I do, in one sense. You understand what I'm saying, though? You don't understand what happened to me. You know, somebody honked her horn. Quit it. You know my best friend. Quit it. You know that I had a car accident. Quit it. I don't care. You understand? Get your eyes up there. Get your eyes on the things of heaven. This world is passing away, and everything you see, the things that are visible are temporary. The things that you can touch and are so tangible are temporary. Get your eyes on eternity. Man, we all get there, but I'm trying to tell us to quit it. I've told you about the time Sister Debbie and I was driving to Elko, both of us discouraged. Both of us. I don't know what we said. I'm just ad-libbing really right now, but I looked at Debbie and said, I don't know if we're doing anything good. Feels like we're just spinning the wheels as pastor. I mean, I'm just telling you. And I'm just telling her, you know what would have been good that day? If she would have looked at me and said, quit it. But she was down that day, and instead of saying quit it, she said, you're right. Boy, I'm glad we got to the house of God and the preacher said, quit it. Right? And do you know every one of us go through things? Different trials, but big ones nonetheless. Do you know that the trials that we would laugh at our children because of the trials that they may feel like they're going through, but they're big. I remember some of the trials I went through as a kid, and now I look back and I say, you know, why was that such an issue? But it was big to me back then. But if I would have then knew what I know now, I would have said to myself, quit it. You're going to be all right. God's going to help you through it. When it's all over, you'll think this is nothing at all. Quit it. Keep your eyes up. Man, I don't know. So you see what Naomi's doing? Do you see what you're doing? When you're driving in the car and your children's in the back seat and you're talking down in the mouth. Do you see what you're doing when you're on the job and you're having a bad day and that one that you've been inviting to church maybe just about ready to come and all of a sudden you talk like there is no heaven and you talk like the only thing there is to worry about is somebody in the hospital dying? But I thought you believed. You don't. Do you understand? There's going to be a time when we're all going to be there. But we got to realize everybody. Her little boy in a Sunday school class one morning, and the teacher said, who all wants to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hands but him. And so the teacher thought, well, maybe he didn't understand me. And so she said, I'll just say it a little different way. How many here wants to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand but him. And so after Sunday school and everybody's dismissed, she said, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, yeah. And she said, you know, I asked who all wants to go to heaven, and you wouldn't raise your hand. How come? He said, oh, I thought you was getting a load up right now. And you know, sometimes we're not looking like we're ready to go right now. Oh, that we were. I don't mean ready in the sense that if we die tonight, we'd go. I mean, oh, that we would say, I ain't take this whole world. Give me Jesus. Sometimes it's in our trials. Sometimes it's when we're driven to our knees the most. When we're saying, Lord, I believe I'm ready. God, I don't know. Scrape myself with potsherds in the ashes. But this one thing I know, that somebody tells me to curse God and die, I'm going to say, you speak like one of the foolish women. Because I want to keep my eyes. Maybe Job was just telling Sister Job, quit it. In our house, that is really, at least I think it is, that's a sweet term. It's a teasing little serious statement. My wife's going like this, but it is a serious, but we always say it, never in a, we say, quit it. Quit it. Quit it. Keep your eyes up. You believe in God. You believe in the end. Don't let the devil cause circumstances here to make. I've seen people get out of church because of a problem that arose. I have seen people have a great pattern of regularity in their prayer life, and the devil brings something into them, a problem, that all of a sudden they feel like they're helter skelter, scattered, and then all of a sudden they get back in their routine. The devil's done what he wanted, and they forgot their prayer life. I'm telling us, in everything we go through, keep your eyes on the end. How many still believes in the rapture? How many still believes that we will be singing? I mean singing. I mean, hallelujah, when we get across on the other side. How many believes it's going to be wonderful over there? Amen. And don't, no matter what our trials are, no matter what our situations address us here, keep your eyes over there. And don't start saying things and start, blah, 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 blah. Quit it, quit it, quit it. Amen. They had promises, and if she would have just remained. Now, at the end, I don't hear a call. By the way, I think people were good enough. You know what? She said, call me Mara. You know what everybody else said? Quit it. You know why I can say that? Because I don't see none of them calling her Mara. You know what they called her the rest of the book? You know why they called her before that? And after that one statement, they called her Naomi before it. You know what they called her after that? They called her Naomi after that. You know what I believe they were saying to her? Quit it. Quit it. Quit it. Quit it.
You know the promises God's given us. You know that the Messiah is coming out of our city. You know Bethlehem is the house of bread. You know that there's famines and troubles and pestilence coming. But you know God said that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. You know God said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Quit it, Mara. Naomi. Quit it, Naomi. Quit it. You're not Mara. You just got to have a fresh look now that you're at the house of God and in the town of God, in the city of David. You just need to remember again the end of it all. Quit it. And they always called her Naomi. Could I encourage you, and I if you see somebody down in the mouth, don't join in. You might even say, quit it. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Don't ever say it to make him feel, quit it. But you might just say, hey, remember a message Brother John preached? I think he entitled it, quit it. Amen. You believe? You believe? You believe? I'm not talking about you believe you're in trials. I know that. I'm asking if you believe it's better if we just hang on. You believe? You believe? I've never been where you're at, Brother Don. I've never lost a spouse. But I believe that you keep your eyes that way. I've never been where you're at, Sister Teresa. Your husband don't come to church. But I believe you just keep on looking. Keep on. I don't know where you're at, Sister Shirley. But don't let it come like this. Quit it. And go on. Go on. Go on. Every one of you. And I'm telling you, brother, the proverb said it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so I'm not just saying every one of you, every one of us. Sometime we need somebody. I hope this message, if you don't remember nothing about the message, I'm serious. I mean, I want you to remember that the message is teaching you to look in your trials, to look, and your problems, to look, and you realize this is temporary. That's not. But if you don't remember a whole lot about my message tonight, I do want you to remember my title. I was reading this book of Ruth months ago, and while I was reading it, it was an affectionate spirit that rose up in me like I would with my wife, and I said to Naomi, quit it. Quit it. Naomi, if you would just see that Jesus is coming through your line, quit it. Don't let them call you Mara. Don't ask them to call you Mara. Don't destroy their hope. Don't destroy their faith. Push them on forward. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I believe this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And so everything you go through, I've told my daughter before, Lindsay, I told her, I said, this is a test. Do you realize it's a test? It's a trial. Yeah, it's a test. Are you going to pass it? Are you going to be a victor over it? Are you going to understand everything that devil brings against you is trying to destroy your faith? It's a test. But will you say, Lord, help me to say to myself, let me look in the mirror and say, quit it. Would you all say it for me? Quit it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I do pray that we would understand the power of our words. God, our man needs to learn to bridle his tongue like a horse's put a bit in a bridle. God, that we would be careful what we say. It will build us. It will build brothers. It will even convict the lost. It will let our words be as the oracles of God. Lord, I pray that everyone here tonight would understand the power of our words and the building of our words in the souls of men and women. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.